You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, much of the conversation around economic growth, whether at a South African level or even at a global level, has centered around a little country called China. Well, not so little, I suppose. And everything to do with China, everything to do with the Chinese economy, the state of that economy and the recovery there has been underpinning a lot of the demand expectations around the world. A lot of the markets have thought that China would return to certain levels sooner rather than later, and that slowdown has caused emerging markets like South Africa to underperform. One would think that this might mean that investors might be looking elsewhere, but there is still an investment case for China. And I'm joined on the line by the Chief Investment Officer at Independent Securities, Simon Fulmore, to take a look at that investment case. Good evening, Simon. Thanks so much for taking the time. You say that now's the right time to get into China because China's looking better than ever?
Yes, and I think what we've been saying to clients over the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks is that they may already be invested in the next bull market. And that's because the Johannesburg Stock Exchange has significant exposure to China, firstly via Prosus and Naspers, which represents about 18% of the top 40 index, then obviously through all the commodity companies, and then, of course, also through the likes of a business like Richemont, the luxury goods company. So South African investors have significant exposure to that region, and any turn in the performance of that region would be quite beneficial and significant to South African investors. And we've seen a subtle change in news emanating from that market, and I think we've slowly started to see that feed through into the market, where if we look at the broader global stock market indices for the year to date, the Hang Seng started off being one of the worst performing. I think it was down about 10% at one stage and is in fact up about 12% at the moment. So we've started seeing a change, I think, in that region, and it's probably likely to continue given some of the announcements that we've seen from the Chinese government and regulators in that country.
Speaking of regulators, Simon, the regulatory landscape has certainly been a difficult one. I think back to the likes of Alibaba that were fined north of $2.5 billion for what was perceived to be monopolistic activities at the time. That certainly hasn't made it easy for Chinese stocks and Chinese companies to attract investment from that perspective. Are you seeing the regulatory landscape changing? Are you seeing it sort of simmer down and quieten down a bit?
We have seen a significant change in that, and we've seen very few fines, or in fact no fines issued recently. And I think the government has realized that at some stage these companies need to be profitable and operate because they're responsible for a significant amount of employment in the country. And we actually see youth unemployment at very high levels. So it's very important that they don't continue to strangle these companies and that eventually they allow to grow and employ people. So we certainly have seen that diminish quite significantly, and that's been quite positive. But I think where we've seen better news originate from is actually around the stock market itself. The announcement that we've seen around that specifically, we've seen the Chinese Sovereign Wealth Fund start buying domestic ETFs. The Securities Commission has encouraged institutional investors to participate in the stock market with greater effort. We've seen stamp duty costs halves. Margin requirements have also been reduced quite significantly. The risk weighting of insurers' capital has been changed with regards to equities. And we've also seen the cabinet itself issue guidelines for a high quality stock exchange and called for a high proportion of stock focused funds in the mutual fund industry. Mm-hmm. So I think all of those things to us are quite positive. But what we also see next to that is Chinese investors, specifically on the retail side, are quite different to their US counterparts, for instance. And Chinese investors have about 70% of their cash invested in residential real estate, with the balance being in cash and shares. So if we see any change in the habits of Chinese investors, of retail investors, it could mean that there's a significant amount of cash that moves into the stock market. And at the moment, Chinese households sit with $7.4 trillion on their personal balance sheets, and that's more than the combined GDP of Japan and China. So you can get a sense of what would happen if that money did start flowing into Chinese equities.
Speaking of Chinese equities, now clearly looks like the right time to be involved in those equities. I mean, they're trading at some 50 to 60% cheaper than the Japanese markets, than the US markets. When we look at that kind of potential upside, as well as the potential inflow that could be coming there, what does that then mean for the attractiveness versus the risk of Chinese equities, but also by extension, the impact that will then have on South Africa because of that 10 cent concentration with Naspers and the impact that that generally has on our economy?
So I think you can never fully mitigate the risk of investing in Chinese equities. And the only way one can get around that is to have a diversified portfolio of shares and not essentially go all in on China, because one never knows with 100% certainty or with a high degree of probability what is going to happen. But certainly from a valuation perspective, the shares look undeniably cheap. And I think in my 25 years in investment markets, I've seldom seen valuations this cheap, except when you're in the throes of a crisis like the global financial crisis or the tech bubble. That was the only other time we've really seen valuations this cheap. And to mention some of the names, JD.com, for instance, it's one of the three big online retailers in China. 80% of their market cap is represented by net cash on their balance sheet. We see with Baidu that 50% of their market cap is represented by net cash on balance sheet. And even the mighty Alibaba has 25% of their market cap represented by cash. And one typically doesn't see those types of ratios unless the market's under severe duress. But we think those companies have weathered the storm, and we'll see a slow pickup in Chinese economic growth over the next couple of years, and a combination of the low valuations, low earnings base, will just result in meaningful returns for investors.
Well, certainly now is the time to be looking at that. If I remember correctly, Chinese data came out recently with GDP coming through at 5.3% for the first quarter, higher than the 4.6% expectations. So definitely surprising everybody there is what the Chinese continue to do. And we'll have to leave it at that, Simon. That's Simon Fulmore, Chief Investment Officer at Independent Securities, on why China is still an investment case.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.